Express.
Welcome, everybody. I hereby call this special meeting of the Cambria Community Services District Board of Directors to order. And if you would be so good as to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. So, Leah, if we may have the flag. There we are. So, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everybody. So I see that we have a quorum here, all five members present, and we're also well attended by staff. In the audience presently, we have three folks who are joining us this morning so far. Pardon me. A very, very brief president's report this morning. This will be the last public meeting at which we will have the pleasure of Chief Hollingsworth's presence. This, I believe, is if it's not his last day, it's practically his last day. And I want to take this opportunity both to, you know, to express my appreciation and also speaking for the board and the members of the community, Chief Hollingsworth. We are so appreciative of your service. And I got the, it seems to me that you've been here forever. And when I actually got the numbers, and indeed it has been forever, at least an entire lifetime. I figure 31 years if you started as a reserve officer, reserve firefighter here in 1991. So that is, in fact, a lifetime. My goodness. And then as fire chief or full-time from 2004. So no wonder it seems to me you've been here as long, you know. Actually, you've been here longer. You've been in the public, working for the public longer than I've been in here. And I came in here full-time in 2004. So I think you're probably one of the longest among us here. But it's going to be, you're leaving a big hole behind. So I do want to appreciate, you know, express the community's appreciation and my appreciation and the board's appreciation for your service. And our best wishes for your retirement. I can tell you from experience, retirement is in itself a challenge, but I think that you are probably up to it. So we look forward to perhaps hearing good news as you move forward in this next phase of your life. So again, thank you. Our very heartfelt thanks from everybody here in Cambria. Thank you so much for your service. I'm moving on now to, that was the president's report. On public comment today, because this is a special meeting, it's only going to be on agenda items. So what we'll do is we'll take the public comment as those items come up. So folks out there, your opportunity to speak will be coming up shortly. Our first item on the agenda is a public hearing regarding the 218 rate increase. So the item is a public hearing in accordance with the requirements of Proposition 218 on the proposed increases to fixed water service charges for commercial water accounts with meters 1 inch and larger, proposed to become effective July 1st, 2023 and July 1st, 2024, and consideration of adoption of Resolution 43-2022 establishing the said rates. So I will now open the hearing, and at this point then we will take public comment. So folks out there, right now, I'll just let you know there are three of you. There's, four actually. There's Crosby and Laura Swartz, Elizabeth Bettenhausen, and Tony Church. So welcome, everybody. So if either any of you have anything to say, this would be the time to say it. Okay, just give it just a moment. And Leah, do we have any written public comment in this for this?
No, we do not.
Thank you, Leah. All right, so there is no public comment. So at this point, and we are receiving the written comments. So at this point, I will close the hearing, and we will commence with the count of the protests. So the hearing is closed. Jim Weigel.
Yes, President Howell, I did want to just let you and the board know that Alex Sanders from Bartle Wells is here to answer any questions if necessary.
Thank you. Yes, and I see Alex here. Yes, thank you for welcome, Alex. Nice to see you again. So the hearing is now closed, and so I guess the issue is, Haley, who is down at the Vets Hall, do we have any additional protests that were turned in to you down there?
I do not, and I do not have anyone from the public in attendance.
Thank you, Haley. So with that, I think we can commence the count. So, Ms. Haley, I think, are there enough that we can, can we just go forward with the count now? And I think if, do we need to recess or can we do this real quickly? okay. So
Howell and board members, thank you for having me today. Based on the feedback from Ms. Dodson a moment ago about having no additional protests down at the Vets Hall, we received two writings purporting to be protests, one of which names two parcels that it is protesting. So of the approximately 32 parcels that would have been needed for a successful protest, we have only received three, which is well below the required threshold. As such, I would recommend that the board deem all of these protests valid and yet insufficient for a successful protest.
Thank you, Ms. Enderlead. So yes, so I do so declare that. And at this point, then, I think we are ready to have a motion regarding adopting the, let's see, I'm trying to find the appropriate wording. Does somebody have that handy? Here it is. So, yes, I think we need to, would someone care to make a motion on this? Director Steidel.
I move that the board adopt resolution 43-2002, which adopts the water rates effective July 1st, 2023 for fixed water service charges for commercial accounts with meters 1 inch and larger.
Excellent.
All right. So that by saying 2023, that's inclusive of the other years. Is that what I'm understanding?
Let's see. Adopts. I'm just reading it here too.
Well, we remember. This is 2023 and 24. I don't know whether.
That would be that we. Let's see. Hold on. I'm looking at the resolution itself.
Yeah, in the operative portion of the resolution, both dates are reflected.
Yeah, I'm all seeing.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Carmel. All right. That being the case, then my motion would be as stated. Thank you.
Right. And I take it there's a second by Director Gray.
I second it. Yes, please.
Excellent. Jim Weigold, your hand is up.
Weigold has his hand up.
I just want to make recommend a quick correction. Director Steidel moved to approve resolution 43-2002 rather than 2022. I don't know if that makes a difference or not, but just
I apologize. Thank you, Jim Weigold.
Yes, thank you. So modified. I don't think we need a. So yes, a friendly.
Accept that modification.
Okay. Right. Okay. So I think, is there any debate on this motion? All right. Seeing none, we're ready for the question. So, Leah, would you please call the roll?
Yes. Director Steidel?
Aye.
Director Steidel? Aye. Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Gray, aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Director Farmer, aye. Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Vice President Dean, aye. And President Howell?
Aye.
President Howell, aye.
All right, so we have five ayes, no nays. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. And so that completes that item of business. And we are now ready for our second public hearing, which is to discuss and consider adopting resolution 44-2022, approving the CPSD preliminary budget for fiscal year 2022-2023, and establishing the fiscal year 2022-2023 appropriations limit. There's actually two resolutions there. So the hearing is hereby opened, and we'll go to the public for any comment. We now have a few other members joining, other folks from the audience joining us now. Crosby and Laura Swartz, please let them come in.
Morning.
Good morning.
President Howell and members of the board. Just a quick question about the set aside for the operating costs for the WRF. It includes $180,000 set aside, but it's still not clear how you get to see what the balance is in the reserve. I assume we're carrying over the reserve from past years, but there's nothing mentioned about that in this current budget proposal. So if a clarification on that would be good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Swartz. Any additional public comment? Okay. Do we have any written public comment, Leah?
There is no written comment.
Okay. Thank you, Leah. Ms. Duffield, that seems like a question that would probably be quickly answered, Mr. Swartz's question. Is that possible?
It'll be answered in my presentation.
Excellent. Thank you. I think then further public comment, and we have no questions. Let's do any issues for clarification from the board before we move to Ms. Duffield's presentation. Okay, seeing none, Ms. Duffield, I think we're ready for your presentation then.
I think General Manager Weichold might want to give an introduction of the item first.
Good point. The floor is yours, GM Weigel.
Okay, thank you, President Howell. As you had mentioned, we're here to consider two resolutions. The first to address the preliminary budget, and as the finance manager now, administrative department head also. We'll discuss. This is the preliminary budget for our spending for the next fiscal year that starts 1 July. Until we reconcile year end, we won't know balances for the remainder of this year. And so we'll come back and readdress the full and final budget in August, once we've had that ability to reconcile this fiscal year. So that addresses the Mr. Swartz's question. But I've also got the department heads here to answer your specific questions. Interestingly, this year we've had a little room in the budget to address a lot of the requests from those department heads. And I'm sure that Pam will note also that we've done a little summary sheet that outlines all the department head requests, as well as what's in the budget of those requests. So you know everything that I've seen from the department head inputs and what didn't make it in the budget after we filtered all that out. Now, that doesn't mean that I unilaterally did anything. It means we generally have a discussion between the finance manager, the department head, and myself to reconcile how we're gonna meet and balance the budget for the year. In some cases, as you'll see, we took into account that we're likely gonna have come in above budget on a number of the different accounts. So we took that into account. For example, the fire department's a little bit in the red, but we know they're the overall admin budget is in the black, so things will likely balance out in the next budget that you see. We made a couple of tough calls as we have to every year, as Pam will outline, and happy to discuss kind of the thinking behind all that. But overall, I think we're in very good financial shape, and certainly the rate adjustments are really going to help for the utility budgets, the enterprise funds. And we'll talk a little bit, Pam will talk a little bit about why you don't see CIP items in there quite yet. So and also I've got guidance out to the utilities manager that not to spend anything big without a discussion pending our financial plans to put in place in a couple of months with both the bond and the bank borrowings. So we settle all that out before we get into the real spending.
Thank you. Seems like a good idea not to spend the money before we get it. So Ms. Duffield, I think we're ready for your presentation.
Okay. Good morning, President Howell, members of the board. So as General Manager Weigold said, this is the hearing for the 2022-2023 budget, the preliminary budget. So our goal today is to adopt the revenue and expenditure plan for the next fiscal year. So what my focus is going to be is on the revenues and expenses. I'm not going to really talk about carry forwards because we will do that, like General Manager Weigold said, in the final budget process, which will be happening. The report will be given to the Finance Committee the end of July, and then the second meeting in August will be presented to the board for approval. So just as kind of an overview, the budget pages look a little different this year, again, because this is utilizing our new financial system versus our Excel worksheet. So I've included a couple different reports at the very end of the budget because the way the new system works is you're not seeing that year over year comparison of where each line item and each fund and department ended in the previous fiscal years. So at the very end of your report, I added just a real quick summary for the general fund and the enterprise fund so that you could see that comparative budget to actual for the last couple of fiscal years. So hopefully that doesn't create confusion for anyone. So talking just revenues as a whole across the funds and departments, property taxes, and we'll get into more detail budget by, department and fund by fund, but just kind of like an overall recap. The property taxes increased 4% per the county's estimate. So that is what we have put into the general fund budgets. And then the small amount remained the same for wastewater that we budget to offset the low income discounts. Mm-hmm. The other tax roll item is the fuel hazard reduction program. So that is, those amounts are solely based on customers that our contractor for the district has had to clear the parcel of weed and debris. And though that represents the amount of customers that have to be put on the tax roll that your board just approved in June. So you might see an up or down from year to year in that, just due to who's paid us and who hasn't. The other item within the fire department is the fire benefit assessment. Again, your board approved that in June as well, and that was a 5.4% increase. Other tax roll related items are water and wastewater availability, which again was also approved by your board, and those don't have a CPI on them. It's just based on the parcels that we have in place at the time. So for grants, we have two grants programmed in the budget. One is in fire, and one is in the enterprise funds, and we'll get into those as we look at those specific budgets. Salaries overall, so for the different bargaining units within the district, we have different raises that were previously approved that we put in place, and those are reflected in your salary dollars. So for fire, for the International Association of Firefighters, their next salary increase is in January of 2023, and that is year 4 of 5 of their MOU, and that is a 4% increase for the full-time firefighter staff.
For SEIU, their raise also goes into effect in January 2023. And that is also year 4 or 5 of the MOU. Everyone in operations, maintenance, and administration will receive a 1.5 increase. And then operations and maintenance also receive an additional 1% equity adjustment, which administration does not receive. The management and confidential exempt group is slated for a raise on November 2022. And this is year 3 of 3 of that agreement. And that is a 2% increase. Medical, we assumed a 15% increase, though the CalPERS rates are, I think they just became available late last week. So we did not have those when we included it in the budget. So we'll be working on those very soon to see what our lowest cost plan will be for the new calendar year. So that information will still be forthcoming. Dental and life, we don't have any projected increases. CalPERS had very slight increases or no change at all for safety and for miscellaneous tiers. What we did see an increase in was in safety, approximately 14% increase in our unfunded liability. And then in the miscellaneous groups, we saw about a 12% increase in our unfunded liabilities. Overall, for expenses, when we prepared the budget, we increased the services and supply accounts by 3%. The exception to that rule is fuel. We increased by 10% just because the cost of fuel currently. And then we also increased electricity approximately 15% due to some information that we've been receiving from PG&E telling us that our rates could go up as high as 22-23% by the end of the calendar year. So, you know, all that's still kind of happening as we speak. So hopefully just using a 15% marker is enough to, account for the increase that we'll see potentially for the rest of the fiscal year. So I'm going to move on to the specific department pages, which those begin, I'll use the upper right hand number in your packet. So that begins, the detail pages begin on page 40 of your budget, of your packet. And then as I'm kind of citing information, the pages that I'm going to kind of be referring to are pages 102 and 103. And those are going to be your specific listing of department line item requests that were funded and not funded for each department and fund. So you'll kind of see that. So page 40 is just, again, just like you see in your quarterly reporting, it is a recap of all the general fund departments together. The general fund departments, just as a reminder, are fire, facilities and resources, PROS, which is parks, recs, and open space, and administrative department. So that's just a quick recap on the total revenues versus the total expense. And the net of that revenue and expense is a deficit of $97,230. So moving into the fire department, which begins the detail pages on 43. So the fire department's budget has a couple of, I'll just recap a couple of quick things that are happening. So in the salaries, we have done a little change off between reducing the current reserve pool that we have to to offset the funding for one full-time firefighter. The chief has mentioned in several different comments to the board and discussions that, you know, we put a lot of laborious effort into certifying and testing and training and outfitting the reservists. And because we can't offer them full-time employment and benefits, likely we put all that time and effort and funding into them. They leave and go to other agencies because they gain full-time employment. And then here we are back in the same circle again, you know, exhausting the resources and the time to get that pool established. So there's some outside of the box thinking there by the chief, and to try to shrink the reserve pool and eventually eliminate that, and to bring on a full-time firefighter to fill the role on each for the different shifts. We're also using that in coordination with the current SAFER staff that we've had the benefit of acquiring due to the grant in starting in January of this calendar year. Other things within the fire department's budget are just increasing line items to account for, you know, the spending that they're seeing in the current fiscal year, increasing the spending, and then adding some equipment. So we have some equipment slated to be funded. I think the entire time that I have been at the district, the fire department has asked for the hose replacement to happen in the budget. And each year we unfortunately don't have enough revenues to support that, and we have to cut it. So this year we are able to fund that, and that is due to no debt service payments in this fiscal year. If you notice that, so in the past years we've had the purchase of the fire engine, and that got paid off in fiscal year 21-22. I don't know what year I'm in. 21-22. And so that kind of freed up a little bit of funding so we could go ahead and fit that in this fiscal year. And we do have the new fire engine loan, and providing we end up financing that with municipal finance. Generally, when we finance something with them, we finance it and then we don't make a payment for a year after. So that was kind of the basis of the assumption when we went ahead and funded the hose replacement, is that if we do get the fire truck during this fiscal year, providing it can be built in that time frame, then hopefully we wouldn't make a debt service payment in fiscal year 22-23. It would kind of push that down the road a little bit to 23-24.
So I think that's about all that I needed to cover for fire.
I skipped over the grant. So also programmed into the budget for fire, which is on page 43 towards the top, you'll see a large grant for $271,000 and change. And that is the cost to offset the SAFER firefighters, the three firefighters that we have the grant for. So that did get programmed into the budget. Moving on to facilities and resources, that starts, the detail is on page 49. We don't have any changes in staffing. That stayed the same. If you look at your funded and unfunded list, you'll see that there was a request to add a maintenance worker, but we just don't have the funding to accomplish that this fiscal year. We have a big ticket item in facilities and resources that we have to address, which is the termite infestation at the vets hall. So because we have to exhaust those resources to do that, we cannot fund any capital improvement projects for the vets hall. We had really hoped to address the siding or possibly the sewer main, but we just really at this point can't do that. I mean, the board would have to make that decision outside this process if they wanted to move forward with something and just take that out of reserves. So if something becomes critically urgent, we would need to come back to the board to address that separately throughout the fiscal year. So moving on to the PROS budget, that begins on page 54. The PROS budget, the only item that is really outside of the norm for PROS, because we've been carrying the grant writer forward and some sort of funding, so to speak, for evaluation or study, some professional service we carry for every year. And the only other item on there is the second of 3 years for the skate park funding. And the board approved that to happen back in March. We programmed the first $59,000 in fiscal year 21-22. So anything that's remaining unspent at the end will roll into next fiscal year's budget. And you'll see that reflected when we talk about the final budget in August. So that's all that we have for PROS.
And President Howell, if I may interject real briefly on the PROS topic.
Yes, please.
So we raised the issue with PROS at the Finance Committee meeting. We think there's worthwhile to discuss consolidating the PROS budget with the facilities and resource budget. Finance Committee made a recommendation to the board in that regard. I think it was 5-0. So we'd like the board to consider that for us to do for the final budget.
I see. Thank you. So is this something do we need to take action on this today, or can we I see this as actually rather significant item. I'd rather have it as a full discussion prior to the final budget. Go ahead.
We wouldn't even have to do it at the time of the final budget. We could still move forward with the final budget as it's presented now. We could have that discussion in the first quarter of the fiscal year and make that change on a quarterly basis as well.
I'm going to propose that we do that, not try to decide this today. I don't know. I have some reservations, and I would like to have this more fully discussed before we proceed on that one. So if that doesn't interfere with the budget process going forward, and then we can pick it up in the first quarter and deal with it. Is that all right, Ms. Duffield?
Yeah, that's fine. And we could always make it an isolated staff report, moving forward in the new year in August or September or something, if that works. And then we can just have a discussion on the pros and cons of doing it. We've kind of run that around internally, but maybe the board has some, information in history that we don't have a staff on why it was created, why we should leave it, why we shouldn't leave it. So it would just be a good overall discussion to have.
Okay, so if we could push that down the road, I'd appreciate it. But Director Steidel.
Thank you, President Howell. I don't mean to get into a discourse about this, but I just wanted to give one small piece of feedback. In the discussion that happened at the Finance Committee, it was a function of the funds being, it appears that with the PROS Commission carrying the same kind of identity as the budget related to a PROS department, that there was an expectation of those funds being available to the commission to be able to spend. And the commission doesn't have authority either to write contracts or to spend money. And so I think what was being vocalized, and that was the reasoning behind it, not that it was alleviating something or removing something.
That was sort of my impression too, but I did want to do respect the Finance Committee's opinions on that, but I think we need a fuller discussion, because it really does go to the whole how does PROS fit in with the whole universe of CCSD stuff? So if the other directors don't mind, if we can push that down, we've got a couple of meetings where we don't have very big agendas, and it might be a good opportunity to kind of really give us a really good discussion, and maybe in the process, end up providing our devoted PROS commissioners who have been working very hard a little bit of guidance, and perhaps even a little bit of opportunity for input into that discussion. So if there is no objection, I'll just add that to my list of things for the upcoming agendas. So is there any objection from anybody? All right. Without watching the hearings, without objection, the chair rules it will be coming back at a soon at a future meeting. So thank you, Matt. So I guess can we go ahead, Ms. Duffield?
Sure. So we just ended with PROS, so let's move on to administration. And that detail page begins on page 58. I'm sorry I forgot to mention at the very beginning, all of the items that you see on the line item budget requests, I've also tried to pull out in your detail pages so that you see them. So about three quarters of the way down on page 58, for example, you'll see like the new items that we're requesting. I tried to put specific detail out there so it was apparent that it was a change from the prior year and it was kind of a department request. So hopefully that helps.
Yeah.
In the detail of the budget. So in the administration department, our increases are a lot of things that we can't control. Our property and liability insurance, we're seeing a 21% increase in that. We've requested additional computer software items just due to licensing changes and things that our computer service is requesting that we add. Additionally, we have the increase of LAFCO fees is slated at 6%. We had to add this year $11,000 for the two board member elections because we do have to reimburse the county when we do have an election for those services. Other than that, we have some training for the directors that we've added and then training for staff. And then we also increased meeting expenses just in case we end up doing the hybrid version during the fiscal year of Zoom in person and the Zoom meetings. There is an additional cost to that for AGP to do that for us. So we went ahead and put that in the budget, assuming that could very well happen during the fiscal year. So other than that, I don't have anything else to discuss with administration. Is there any questions you have before I move on to the enterprise funds? Okay, I'll move on to enterprise. I just don't want to give you so much information at once you forget your question.
Okay. Well, actually...
The enterprise funds are the water department, the water reclamation facility, or the WRF, operations and capital, and the wastewater department. So those summary pages begin on page 63. And again, I provided the information like we do in the quarterly report on the summaries. I provided a summary of all the enterprise funds together. And then on page 65, you'll see just the water funds and the subfund of the WRF. And then on page 67, you'll see just wastewater on its own. So you can see them all combined or separated out by the major fund. So the water department's budget begins on page 70. And so in the water department budget, we've gone with the rates per the rate study, the Bartle Wells study that just happened in 2022. The rates are exactly out of the study that you'll see. And we've done the same thing with wastewater. We've taken those revenues directly out of the rate study. Additional to that, there is, in the water department, there is a federal appropriation grant for the water tank rehabilitation. We've been told that that money has been earmarked for our agency, but yet we still don't have the grant documents that have come forth to support that. So we're still hoping that'll happen in the near future, and we've gone ahead and put that in the budget. The odd thing with this is our capital expenditure is sitting in this fiscal year. So generally, when we have a grant offsetting project costs, we recognize it all in the same fiscal year. So one cost offsets, you know, the grant offsets the cost of the project. But this is kind of an odd situation. And so we're really not seeing the cost of the project come forward until the project rolls forward with the final budget, and then they'll be aligned. So our budget is a little overstated in revenues by the $375,000 grant right now, but that again will be offset when the project rolls forward. And we'll see that in the final budget get kind of cleaned up. But we thought it was important that we go ahead and put it in the budget to recognize the pending grant. So as far as salaries, there's no change in salaries for the water department. The only changes were the ones that we all talked about, which are global, affecting all the departments and the funds. But there's no change in staffing levels. It's the same staff that is current in the current fiscal year budget. Some items that are different in the expenditures for the water department. We've added some maintenance and repair items. One of the big items is the driveway repairs that need to happen at the wastewater plant. And that will be split 50-50 between water and wastewater. So you'll see that appear in the wastewater budget as well. We have several studies and plans that we need to update. You'll see that in the professional service categories. And then there's desire to improve and kind of revamp the rebate program, and also exhaust some resources to replenishing the giveaways. That's been successful at farmers market. So that plan wants to, they want to continue with that plan. The capital projects that are happening in the water funds budget are the water meter replacement program. So there's the annual amount that we've been putting aside for several years of $97,000. When we go forward with the final budget, you'll see the remaining fund that we haven't spent yet carried forward. So I think we're getting close to maybe $500,000 that we've budgeted over the years for that project. So you'll see that come forward. Cool. The Piney Way Erosion Control is a new project that we're programming this year. And also we're programming the design and permitting, having to do with the permanent fix that's required, or the evaluation that's required to move forward with fixing the emergency water leak that we had happen this late December this last year. So I don't think there's anything else. Let me look at my notes to make sure I covered all the stuff in water. I think that was all for the water. So then if we move forward to the WRF, WRF operations begins on page 70. So for WRF operations, we're continuing to use the last year of the 2018 rate increase. So WRF operations did not have an increase in the 2022 rate study. So the 2022 will only pertain for the 3 years of increases to water and wastewater. It will not pertain to WRF operations. Those will remain the same. So those revenues are the same revenues that you've seen in the prior fiscal year. As far as expenditures, there's a couple of items towards the end of the page on page 101 of your department line item budget request. They're requesting some UV on-site installation and then media installation training, as well as the media installation and media preservative. There was a question earlier in public comment about how do we see the reserves that are set aside, what's been reserved in the past for the 2 month operations and what's reserved currently. So if you remember our discussions and when we converted to doing the budget and the reporting through Tyler, the reserves are not a revenue and they're not an expenditure. So you don't see those in this plan. So what I did to make it transparent is I just created a dummy general ledger account number at the very end of the 6,000 series of expenditures so that we can see that in the budget. So that is on page 77 and it's the second item.
Oh, there it is.
So you'll see that. So that is the amount that's budgeted new for fiscal year 22-23. So what we will do is when we close out 2020 or 21-22 and roll things forward, I'll use that as a carryover and we will put what's been unused and we'll just add it to that line item. We'll also talk about it a little bit more when we get to the reserve page, because the reserve page has it on there on what's been historically budgeted for this. So you'll see that on there. Anyway, so you won't see that in this budget because, again, it's just talking about the new fiscal year and new funding. It doesn't talk about the carry forward. You'll see that in the final budget. So hopefully that answers Mr. Swartz's question. Moving to WRF Capital, there is one request, and that is for some additional funding for the CDP permit modeling, design, and engineering support. And then moving to wastewater, which begins on page 84. Again, the rates in wastewater for the sales that are anticipated is from the 2022 rate study. The salaries and wages are global, like the rest of the district. You know, the cost that we talked about already, there's no new positions being added. Their staffing levels will remain the same as they are in the current fiscal year. Some key items that they've added in their expenditures. They need to do some collection system line repairs. They need to paint the handrails and the driveway repairs that we talked about a little bit with in the waters budget. There's that 50% share in the wastewater budget. Wastewater also needs to do some updates of some plans, and they also want to develop and implement a fats, oil, and grease program, or a FOG program is what it is referred to as. And then for capital projects, we decided to not fund any of the capital projects. General Manager Weigold was discussing that in his introduction. We decided to wait until we know the outcome of the IGA financing. You know, what's going to get included, what doesn't get included. And so we just wanted to make sure that staff didn't go forward with any of the, if we funded anything temporarily, we just want to make sure it didn't happen. So we elected to just not fund any capital at this point and just hold off and wait until the outcome. The one item that we did add per the rate study and the financial recommendation that we were receiving from Mr. Handlers and from our other players that are involved in the loan process, is that we should pay off the city national loan. So included in the budget is an additional $167,000 to go ahead and make that last payment to City National Bank. So I'm sure we'll have some interest savings because we're not slated to make that final payment until September of 2023, which will be in the 23-24 budget. But it's been recommended to us that if we can afford to do that at this point in time, that it would look better on our profile when all the investors are looking at the health of the fund to go ahead and have that debt not be there. So we are, come July 1, if the board approves the budget as is, I will go forward and start making those phone calls to see what our option is to pay that off and when. That includes all of the detail for the different funds and departments. The next item in your packet is the detail of the administrative cost overhead and how that's managed and the percentage that goes to each fund and department. And that is on page 90. Followed by that, on page 92 is the salary schedule for the new year. And the only thing on there at this point, the only new item is the addition of the firefighter. We were kind of perplexed by should we add it or should we not add it, because the current firefighter at the same salary range has this designation of SAFER with it. And this new position will not be funded with the SAFER grant. So we just elected to be on the safe side and go ahead and just add the new position. It may not have been necessary, but we just weren't sure. So we just said, let's just be safe and just add it without being grant funded. So that's the only change. The next page that you have is the position allocation list, or the PAL. And that just basically compares what was adopted, the number of positions that were adopted in 21-22 versus the changes that have happened during the year and what it is in 22-23. Also, you have on page 94 and 95, you have the current fiscal year org chart, and then you have the proposed fiscal year org chart. The difference there would just be the addition of the one firefighter position and the reduction of the reserve staffing. Capital improvement sheets begin on page 97 with the general fund, followed up by wastewater on the next page and water on the final page. During the finance committee meeting, there was some discussion about the capital project worksheets, and there's been a request to insert a column so that it's transparent for what has been expended in previous fiscal years. Because generally we use these pages, number one, just to let the board and the public know all the capital projects that exist, like in a 10-year range. And then through the year, as expenditures happen in the quarterly report, you see the expenditures to date that have occurred against that project. But the piece that seems to be missing is, you know, what has been spent in past years. We all had a collective discussion and said, yeah, that's probably a good column to add so that people are aware kind of where we are in the funding of the project. Are we just beginning or are we close to being done? So we'll make sure to get that added and get all that research done and gather the costs that's happened, you know, for each project collectively for the previous years. We'll get that into the first quarter's report. We won't make it into the final budget. I think it's just too tight to make that happen. So we'll make sure to have it in the first quarter's report. This is the same list that you're looking at that went to the R&I committee. I think it went to R&I back in April when they reviewed this, and the priorities were addressed at that point. Additionally, there's still some prioritization discussions that will be happening, you know, over the next fiscal year with R&I and the utilities manager, Mr. Danzo. They're trying to come up with a better ranking system, a more accurate ranking system. And so, you know, that will be forthcoming as those decisions are made.
Cool.
So then the last item is, oops, we missed a title page here. So page 104 is the reserve projections. And again, because we haven't closed out the fiscal year yet, what we assume is estimated at June 30, 2022 is strictly what is programmed in the budget currently. So we know that all those capital improvement projects will not happen. So they just kind of get moved down the road. So, you know, it still is a net effect to our ending cash, but it may not happen at the end of June. It may happen in the next fiscal year. So where it is. So if you look at the column that says total water fund, and you come towards the end of the page, there's a $533,000 amount there. And that is where you see the unused reserve for WRF for fiscal year 1920, fiscal year 2021. And we're assuming it won't be used by the end of 21-22. So that is where you'll see carried forward when we do the final budget added to the current $180,000 that's in the current year's budget. And then the items I talked about at the beginning, to kind of give you a quick recap of what has happened in past years, comparing this budget to past year's budget, that is on page 106. So you'll see 2021 budget versus what activity occurred, the same for 21-22, and that's just what's happened. The total activity is what is in the system at the time I ran the report, which was on June 9th. So it's just not inclusive of everything that will occur to close out the fiscal year. And then it's comparing it to the budget requests that we're making for June, or for July to June 2023. So that concludes all the highlights that I needed to provide. So I would be happy to answer questions that you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Duffield. Yes, so from the board, yes, Director Steindl.
Thank you, President Howell. On the reserves page, Ms. Duffield, yeah. And in reference to the $533,000 we were just directed to, although it's called out as unused reserve in nomenclature, is it fair to categorize that as dedicated reserve?
It's just reserve for future operations. That's what's been put in the budget for multiple years. So it's dedicated to WRF. I mean, the board could reprogram it to whatever their desire is.
But I was just wondering if that might, by some wild chance, make it more clear to the public that that's the dedicated reserve that had been, it's the term set aside is used often in public discussion for the purposes that that they were established for the Brian Hall off.
We usually, in the budget pages, it'll say two-month operations.
Two-month operations, right. Yeah. Okay.
We usually don't use dedicated when we talk about reserves. I think in the nomenclature, it's more like restricted or unrestricted. you know, we have some terminology, but we don't really have this in any kind of a specific
categorization.
Yeah, you know, it's just a reserve that we've been tracking over the years. And at some point, the reserve might get so big that the board wants to decide to do something else with it. You know, if we're not operating the WRF, should it be utilized for something else? I mean, that's something, because, you know, it's building.
Yeah.
Each year that we're not utilizing it, it's building. Right. And eventually it's going to make the fund appear in the negative. You know, if we keep adding it and adding it and adding it, you know, so it just might be something that needs to be discussed in the future. How many years do we want to keep setting it aside when it's unused? And do we want to stop at a certain amount?
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions from the board? Yes, Director Gray.
Thank you, President Howell, and thank you, Ms. Duffield, for the very, very clear presentation. It really answered most of the questions I had. But on this reserve page, I think it's a little follow-up question to Director Stidell's on the operating reserves that were for the WRF. Is the amount set aside, the $180,000 in the current year, and then in the current year, the 21-22 year, is that included in that $289,979 deficit, or is that, in other words, does that include the amount set aside? The one that's under WRF operations.
I don't know where you're getting the 289 from.
Oh,
under, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, under, yeah, under, yeah.
Right. No, it's going to be under operations. So the 180 is included in that number.
Okay.
Okay. Because that, so historically we've had a couple different amounts. So if you go back through the rate increases from 2018, there wasn't a set aside in the first year of the rate increase. It didn't happen until 1920. And in 1920, I believe it was 173.
Mm-hmm.
A different amount. I think
something
it was like 173,000, I think is what we set aside. Mm-hmm. And then the following fiscal year, there was a CPI that was put on it. So that's when we've locked into that 180,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so based on the rate study that we're using to, you know, keep our expenses and revenues in line with the current rates, we've continued to use that 180. Mm-hmm. So the 180 would be inclusive of what you see on that line for 289,000 deficit that mm-hmm. sits in the WRF currently for this fiscal year. And then the new 180 is also sitting in the 22-23's budget.
Mm-hmm. Because what I'm trying to piece it together is why there's a deficit in the reserve figure, and which I believe our current budget for WRF is running a surplus, even with or is it not running a surplus with that set aside?
So this is using the budget, remember,
mm-hmm.
not how we're running with actuals. This is using strictly the WRF budget.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm also assuming that the capital deficit includes a lot of carry, the big carry forward, which is the 200,000 for the development of the brine hauling facility, right? That's still going to be that's sort of carry forward that's been included in this.
That's correct. That'll carry forward.
Yeah.
Right.
And one more.
So you'll see all the project carry forwards because there's a significant amount in water in mm-hmm. WRF and in wastewater.
Mm-hmm.
But also in WRF, there's quite a few studies that are happening as well. So all those will carry forward. The board just approved, I think in April or May, a fairly large, I don't know, there was two or three consultant contracts that got approved.
Section 7, I know the Section 7 study.
Yes. Yeah. So mm-hmm. all of All of those, of course, will not be complete by the end of June. So all those contracts, the dollars and the budget will move forward. So we have that funding to support those ongoing efforts.
Yeah. And I have one more question about presentation in general. The budget worksheet at the end, the last two pages, which gives the comparatives, to what degree can that be done for the detail, the line item part? Because that's, of course, in the past, we've had that for the line item parts of the budget. It's nice to see the, you know, where the increases are coming from. You mentioned a number of them, for instance, in energy, you know, like the fuel and electricity and other changes in terms of percentages. But, you know, in the old days, we had the actual numbers to look at. So how much of detail can we get on past spending and past budgets in the line items when we get the final budget?
Well, I can add it. It's about 60 pages, but I can add it when we do the final budget. The problem is you need to keep in mind that at the end of the fiscal year, when we do our audit, there's a lot of audit adjustments that occur. So one of the audit adjustments that occur is all of your capital improvement spending gets moved out of the expense account and zeroed out and moved to a balance sheet account. So when you look at the budget, you know, to actual, and you're looking at those final numbers, it's going to give a untrue surplus, so to speak, because all of your capital expenditures leave in the enterprise funds. You know, the other, so it's just kind of hard in the new system to do that. In the old system, using Excel, I would go put those numbers back in the worksheets because people want to see what the cost is. But when we do our accounting entries for the audit, those things come out. So, I mean, I'd be happy to provide them, but I think it's going to cause confusion.
I see the problem. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Duffield.
Thank you, Ms. Duffield.
Yes. okay. Let's move on to Vice President Dean.
I unmuted and then muted myself again. I want to thank you for the excellent summary you provided along with this financial report, and also all those significant budget items that you called out, including the goals and objectives and plans going forward. I think that was a great thing. I do have a question. On the state park reserve funding, where we approve $59,333 a year towards the skate park, where in here does the matching funds that we are supposed to get from the Cambria Community Council, are they notated anywhere in here?
They are not. So as we get them, we would have to program them in. So the revenue will come in, and as we get that revenue, we would have to program the offsetting expenditure in.
Okay. I think that's all I had. Thank you. Everyone else asked, or Cindy asked a lot of the questions I already had, and so did Director Gray. So thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you. Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Howell. Yes, I'll just echo the sentiments of everyone else with regard to the always excellent report that Ms. Duffield provides to us with regard to finances. Makes it sound like she's totally on top of it, and we already know that. So I don't know if I'm out of line here in what I'm about to say, but I'm kind of addressing items that are and statements that are in this particular agenda item. So what I'd like to comment on is not necessarily specifics with regard to what's been discussed here, but just kind of comments and observations that are made in this particular item. So for example, on page 27 of this item, where it says, overall, the district's financial condition continues to improve. And of course, as it states, as a result of the past 3 years of enterprise fund rate increases. And then it makes another statement here as well with regard to district efforts and fiscal conservation and through the creation of operational efficiencies, leveraging technologies and updated policies and procedures. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to assume that we've done that. But with regard to financial condition, it continues to improve. Earlier in this report, General Manager Weigold stated, and I quote, that the district is in very good financial shape. So I'm just wondering, and I'm going to, like I say, go a little bit further than what's been discussed so far. If I'm on this page here, 27, and I drop down to the paragraph that starts service levels in the CCSD general fund budgets, somewhere in that paragraph, it says several unfunded items continue to exist. And I check the amounts there. It's a little over $500,000. And then it says options to increase revenues to address unfunded items are relatively limited. So that to me is a slight problem, but I'd like to talk about some of the items that are further up, further almost to the end here with regard to relatively capital improvement projects that are on the horizon here. Perhaps the most important one is the Sensimi and Wellfield transmission main line. As we know, it broke back in January, so we had to have that line replaced with a temporary line. That cost a little over $400,000, but replacing that line, and I'm assuming that this is going to be relatively soon down the road within the next year or two, you know, that's going to cost about $2 million. Also, the rodeo grounds pump station replacement, that's a little over $2 million. That's somewhere on the relative horizon. And then I look at the CIP list, which I know wasn't addressed today, but the CIP list with regard to the investment grade audit for the wastewater plant, that's a little over $15 million. The collection system projects are just under $6 million. So we have $21 million in costs that are coming up there. Now, granted, this is over a 10-year period, but this is a sufficient amount of money. And then also, we have the debt that we pay off every year, the $660,000 for the WRF, as it's called now, $660,000 a year for the next 12 years. So that's a little under $8 million. The reason I'm bringing these amounts up is, as it has been stated, we're in pretty good financial shape. But if you were to ask me, I'd say, well, overall, if I'm looking further down the road and these huge expenditures that are on the horizon, and like I say, just to replacing the transmission line is going to have to take place here. The only way that we're going to be able to do this is to continue to raise rates. And for some people that are living in this community, they're fairly comfortable financially. Maybe that's not going to be a big deal. But when I think of folks such as myself with a relative limited income, folks on fixed incomes, that type of thing, I would say the finances on the horizon for the district are going to be quite challenging. And the fact that the rate increases will just continue to take place, I'm a little bit cautious about making a statement that we are in very good financial shape and the members and the ratepayers of this community can feel comfortable with that statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Do we have any additional commentary from the board members? I have one, just a brief question, Ms. Duffield. This is very, very minor. But in the various funds, there's appears as a negative in the revenue side of the SB2557 tax. Could you remind us as what that is? I was just a little puzzled by it. Just curious.
I'm sorry, what is it?
The
SB2557?
Yeah.
So that is actually a charge against our revenues that we get from the county for tax roll. That is the cost that the county charges us to put things on the tax roll and to disperse the, keep track of it and disperse the money to us.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Duffield.
So it's kind of weird. I had thought about changing that and moving because it's really an expenditure.
Yeah.
So it's kind of strange that it's always been historically budgeted there, but at least it doesn't give you a false picture of the total amount of money that we acquire from the county in tax roll. So that's why it's kind of up there in the negative revenue. I don't know. It's kind of odd.
That's a negative revenue. But it does make some sense.
Yeah. So that's what that is.
Just a brief comment regarding Director Farmer's commentary. The way I interpret it when it's said that we are in good financial condition, it isn't that we have sitting in the bank, you know, $20, $30 million to cover 10 years worth of expenses, but rather that we look at our income and we can see that it is sufficient to support the debt service that we need to undertake in order to meet the requirements that we have in terms of providing services. So, and of course, costs do rise just because of inflation, if for no other reason. So there will be inflationary rate increases. That's already in the next, you know, once we complete the over the 5-year window that we have regarding the 218. I just wanted to comment. So yes, there are a lot of expenses on the horizon, but it's nothing is free in this world, and there's a natural. It costs money to process our sewage. It costs money to get water, and that's just the way it is. So I just wanted to comment on that. So we're not facing financial disaster because we do have the income to support the borrowing that we're going to need to do in order to preserve our infrastructure. If the board will indulge me briefly, I believe I did already close this hearing, did I not? Yes, okay. The hearing has been closed, so the public comment period is exhausted. However, as a courtesy, I'm going to allow one member of the public to come in briefly. Ms. Dickinson, this is not really the public comment period, but I see that you've been faithfully listening here, so I'd like to allow you the opportunity to speak.
Okay, can you unmute?
Yes, you are unmuted.
Oh, all right. Thank you very much, President Howell. I'm sorry, I'm just getting in. I thought the meeting was at 1 and didn't realize it was much earlier. So I have a question on the WRF fund. On page 37 or 36, there's mention of the WRF fund. Then it says, see budget schedules on page 51 to 58. What I don't see, and I haven't seen, is since we know, and Mr. D'Anzo has told us, that the only way brine waste can be disposed of is through trucking. I do not see any cost evaluation for trucking either to Oceana, where we have a contract, or where we don't have a contract, to Kettleman, whatever the case may be. But why are those costs not included in this budget? I've been doing my own calculations, as I did like 3 years ago, and I've updated them. And they're so prohibitive that to not be included in the budget is quite remarkable. And I have to question why, because at this point in time, there is no other way to dispose of the brine waste except through trucking, which was validated by the utility manager. But why it's not in the budget is an incredible mystery. The other question I have is under goals, objectives, and plans, the second one under water systems, it says update San Simeon Creek Basin Management O&M manual. This was one of the items that was requested by Coastal in the NOV. And the response was that the hard copy could not be located. So I'd like to know how you can update something that you could, that the district couldn't even find in the first place. I've checked with the Department of Water Resources for it, or State Water Board. They can't find it. So where do you update something that you can't find? And that's something I'd like to get an answer to at some point. But the bigger concern right now is why the WRF has not been allocated funding for brine waste hauling. And I'd be happy to share my numbers with you should anybody ever be interested in it. But that's something the district should have done a long time ago when they realized they couldn't dispose of it any longer in the brine pond. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak, President Howell.
You're welcome, Ms. Dickinson. Thank you for your commentary. I've seemed to have opened the floor here. I'm not going to make additional public comment because the opportunity has passed and everyone else has been present and had that opportunity. But I just in response briefly to Ms. Dickinson, it was my impression that brine hauling expense was included in the 2 months operations. Is that not the case, Ms. Duffield?
No, that is correct. Okay. It's part of the calculation of the 2 months of operations.
Okay, so the short answer is yes, though it is allocated, it is part of that. Now the question of whether we're underestimating that cost is an entirely different issue. Yes, I see Director Steidel's hand up. Yes, Director Steidel.
And I'm sure that, thank you, President Howell. I'm sure that if Ms. Dickinson goes back and takes a look at this meeting, she'll find out that there is a reference to actually monies that have been being set aside over a period of time, which actually are $533,000. And if you were to add together the years that money has been brought, is years 2021, 21, 22, and 22, 23. Excuse me, back off 1 year. The first year was 177, the second year was 180, and this current year that we're operating in is 180, which is where the $533,000 came from. And hopefully those will be in agreement with the numbers that she pursued.
Thank you, Director Steidel. Yeah, actually, until we actually operate the plant, it is an unknown as to what precisely it will cost us, but that represents our best estimate at the present time.
Yes. The $180,000 is not just for brine disposal. The 2 month of operation included, I think, additional lab costs, mm-hmm. Additional electricity costs. There was a lot of, and it's laid out in the 2018 rate increase. I mean, that's how that number was gathered, you know, several years back. And we've continued to utilize that same numbers because, again, like you said, we don't have a current cost. If we did have to run it, what is it really going to cost us?
Thank you, Ms. Duffield. Okay, I think we're ready to move forward here. So we need a motion if there's no further discussion. So we have two resolutions. So we have a motion to adopt the first resolution, 44-2022. If someone would care to move that. Don't all speak at once.
Okay. Getting to the wording.
There you are. Okay, Director Steidel, you have the floor.
Thank you. So for the first motion, I move that we adopt a resolution 44-2022. Approving the CCSD preliminary budget for fiscal year 2022-2023.
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt the resolution 44-2022, approving the preliminary CCSD budget for fiscal year 2022-2023. Is there any further debate on this motion? Seeing none, we're ready for the question. So, Leah, would you be so good as to call the roll?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, Director Steidel?
Aye.
Director Steidel, aye. Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Gray, aye. I'm sorry, Director Farmer?
Aye.
Director Farmer, aye. Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Vice President Dean, aye. And President Howell?
Aye.
President Howell, aye.
Five ayes, motion passes unanimously. So we are now ready for the second motion. Let me get it. This will be to adopt resolution 45-2022. And I have, would someone care to make that motion? Yes, Director Gray.
I'll help out here. I move that the board adopt resolution 45-2022, establishing the fiscal year 2022-2023 appropriations limit.
A second to that? Come on, I always have a second here. Anybody? Seconded by Vice President Dean. It's been moved and seconded to adopt a resolution 45-2022, adopting a tax proceeds expenditure appropriation limit for fiscal year 2022/2023. Do we have any further discussion or debate on this motion? Seeing none, we're ready for the question. Again, Leah, would you be so good as to call the roll?
Yes. Director Gray.
Aye.
Director Gray, aye. Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Vice President Dean, aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Director Farmer, aye. Director Steidel?
Aye.
Director Steidel, aye. And President Howell?
Aye.
President Howell, aye.
Vote is five ayes, no nays. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Leah. So we are now, I believe, at the end of this particular section. Let me see. Yes, it's time. Does anyone wish to bring up any, propose any future agenda items? I do have the one to review the PROS, the issue about where what to do with the PROS budget. So I've already got that. Does anybody have any additional items that they... that they haven't brought forward at previous meetings? I think I have a pretty good list, which eventually I'll run by you all to make sure that I got them all. But any other things that have come up across your okay, seeing none, then I think we are ready to adjourn to closed session. So again, thank you everyone for your attendance, folks in the public. I appreciate your being here on this morning. And Mr. Carmel.
We'll need to take public comment on the closed session item.
Ooh, right. Thank you so much. All right, so we're about to adjourn to closed session. So at this point, we'll be taking public comment. This will be for a public employee performance evaluation pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B2. Title is the General Manager. So. Do we have any comments from the public on this? All right, I'm not seeing anyone. Leah, do we have any written comment regarding this closed session?
I'm sorry, I was caught off guard. Give me just one moment here.
Sorry about that.
No, it's my fault. There is none.
Thank you, Leah. So there's no comment. So I'm going to now, we are prepared to adjourn to closed session. We are hereby adjourned, and the rest of you, we'll see you back. And can we take 5 minutes? Five? Let's make it an even number. I see it's 11:28 now, so can we come back at, let's start the closed session at 11:35 for everybody? We're all good? Okay. Without objection, we are adjourned to closed session. Thank you, everybody.